Okay, today, good morning everybody. Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin of Mesach HaShkol, and we are holding on daf Tes Vav and Beis. We are at about 7 lines from the end of the page. Akarya Misayelu, the Rabbanan. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Lander very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So what we're going to learn about today is the following. We're going to learn a list of the items that were nignaz and who was gonez the items. First, we're going to go through rayas, whether there was one aron or two aronos. We're going to go through different rayas in the psukim, and then we're going to list the items that were nignaz. Then there's going to be a machlokas, how they made the Shemen HaMishcha, and the nes involved, both in making the Shemen HaMishcha and in applying and using the Shemen HaMishcha. The Gemara is going to tell us how they used the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint kings, and when which types of kings did not require Shemen HaMishcha, anointment with the Shemen HaMishcha. Then we're going to have two sources that Kohanim can never be appointed as kings, and the Gemara is going to have a machlokas about the exact size of the Aron and what needed to fit inside of the Aron. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether the Aron was made with 3 boxes or only with 1 box. And then there are going to be 4 opinions of how many Dibros were written on each of the Luchos, and the details written on the Luchos, which details or if there were details written on the Luchos. And then at the very end of the daf, right before Halacha Beis, the Gemara is going to tell us that Torah is an Eish Das, that Torah is considered to be fire, and it was actually originated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in multiple types of fire. So let's begin again. We are at Karya. We just learned yesterday a machlokas, how many aronos they had, where the Rabbanan said it was only aron echad, and it never went out to war except for that one time where the Plishtim captured the aron. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish said, no, there were shnei aronos that traveled with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, one that had the Torah inside of it, and one of them that had the Shivrei Luchos inside of it, and one of them was brought out to war, and the other one was not. So the Gemara is going to bring three rayos as far as whether it was one aron or two aronos. So raya number one, karya misayelu rabbanan. We have a pasuk that's a raya to the rabbanan that there was only one aron that was yot and there was never yotzei l'milchama except for that one time, because the pasuk says when the plishtim heard that the aron abris came to together with machne yisrael, they said oylanu miyatzilenu miyad elukim adir me'ela. So milu d'lacham. This was apparently was a chiddush that the Plishtim were constantly fighting with the Bnei Yisrael, and that was a chiddush that there was an Aron there. So they got terrified because they were astonished that there was an Aron. Apparently, this was not a normal occurrence for an Aron to be brought out to Milchama. So the Gemara says, "Kari Maseilah Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish." We have a pasuk. So first of all, how's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish going to respond to that? So he's going to say, "No, their pachad was that normally the Aron with the Shivrei Luchos went out to Milchama." Now they brought the Aron with the Luchos Shleimos, with the actual complete Luchos, and that's what psyched them out, that they were bringing a different type of Aron. So Kari Maseilah and Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish, we have another Raya from a Pasuk, but this Raya is in favor of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish, because the Pasuk says that in Melchema Shaul HaMelech against the Plishtim, Vayomer Shaul Achia Hagisha Aron Elokim, Valo Aron Bekiris Yaarim Haya. What was Shaul asking for the Aron? The Aron was in Kiris Yaarim. That's where they put it until David Melech took it from there. So how could Shaul ask for them to bring the Aron to him? So it must be some second Aron that the broken Luchos were in, and that's the one that was Yotzei L'Milchama, because he couldn't have possibly summoned the Aron. So Ma'ov D'nei Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan do with this pasuk that sounds against their Shita? So answers the Gemara, they're going to explain that does not refer to the Aron Abris. It's Hagishe Layatzit. He was asking for the Big Day Kuna Gedola. It happened to be they kept the Big Day Kuna Gedola in a box. So he was asking for the box that the Big Day Kuna Gedola were kept in. So and he called it the Aron Elokim, because it was the Aron that has the Dvarim Kedoshim, that they use the Shem Hashem, they use the Shem in order to be able to get advice from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Urim V'Tumim, whatever was in there, that's affiliated with the Kohen Gadol. And then a third and final Raya. Karya Misayel Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish. Another Raya to prove Rabbi Yehuda ben Lachish's opinion correct, that there were two Aronos, one of them that went out with them to war, because the Pasuk says, Ha'aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda Yoshvim Basukos. When Uriah Hachiti was called back from war, and David HaMelech was telling him, him, I want you to go back home. Why didn't you go back home? So he says, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back home and be with my wife when the Arun and Yisrael and Yehuda are Yoshim Besukos, and I'm just going to be with my wife. Valo Arun B'tzion Hayo. What does he mean that the Arun was Yoshim Besukos? The Arun was in Sion, was near David. So if Uriah said that the Arun was sitting in Sukkos, it must be that he was referring to a second Arun, the Arun that was out b'Milchama. So isn't this a raya that there was in fact a second Arun? Says Mavdanei Rabbanan. That seems like a pretty good raya. What are the Rabbanan going to do with that? Uriah clearly was referring to a second Arun. So says Mar Schach Shehu Kikiroi Shadayin Lo Nivna Beis HaBechira. That no, it was a Schach Shehu Kikiroi that it was under an awning because the Beis HaMikdash was not built. So all he was saying was that the Arun is not located where it ultimately belongs in the Beis HaMikdash. Not that it was out in the war. It was just that it's not where it's ultimately going to go when there's a Beis HaMikdash. He says, I'm going to be with my wife when the Arun doesn't have a home. Well, I mean, because there are going to be many, many years in Jewish history where the Arun won't have a home and people are still going to need to continue Klal Yisrael. So it must be that it's the combination of the two things. That Klal Yisrael is fighting war and the Arun doesn't have a home and I'm going to be with my wife. That's what he was saying. He couldn't handle. So now the Gemara brings other items that were nignas aside from the Arun. Mishnignas Arun, nignas imo, together with the Arun was also hidden. Tzantzenes haman, that piece of man that the Torah tells us about, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron HaKohen, kach tzantzenes achas v'tein shama melo ha'omer, to take a melo omer of man. We always have, omer is really just a measurement in the Torah. We always think of omer as a sphira, but omer is a measurement. So take an omer of the man and put it l'mishmeres. So that's tzantzenes haman that was put, that was guarded, l'mishmeres, that was kept put aside. So that's that was also nignas together with the Aron. Utzloch Shemin HaMishcha, and the plate of Shemin HaMishcha, u'makolo shel Aron u'prachov u'shkedov, and the staff of Aron with the flowers and the almonds that grew on it, va'agre sheshivu plishtim asham lelkei Yisrael, and also the box that the plishtim sent back after they returned the Aron, and they sent back this box as a gift together with the Aron. So says Gemara, Mikanazo, who hid the Aron away? Yoshiyahu Ginazo, Yoshiyahu hid the Aron. Kivin Shorosh, HaKasov, Yolach Hashem Itcha Vesmalkacha, so he was worried that maybe they would take the Aron Kodesh together with them to Bavel. So Amar Gunazo, he put it away so that it wouldn't be taken to Bavel when they went into Golas Bavel. Hado d'chsiv, and that's what the pasuk in Divrei Yamim refers to. Vayomer l'levim amavinim l'chol Yisrael hakadoshim l'Hashem tenuas Aron Kodesh b'bayis Hashabbanu Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael ein lechem masa b'kosef. So the Aron Kodesh was in the Beis Hamikdash. Why does he have to tell them that they should put it in the Beis Hamikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built? No, clearly he's telling them to put away the Aron. Amar lahem, im gola hu imachem, because if this Aron goes into Golas together with you, lebavel, even if you're going to have a geula from Bavel, and you'll get back all the other kelim in the Mikdash, the Aron's not going to be given back to you. Einatem machzirin oso, Ode Limakomo. You're never going to be able to bring it back again to its rightful place. That's what they say. Ein lecha masa b'kasif means by leaving the Aron in Bavel, Ein lecha masa b'kasif in the future. We're never going to be able to get our hands on this Aron again. We're never going to be able to bring it back on our own shoulders. Ella ata ivdu as Hashem Elokechem v'masam Yisrael. Rather, what you should do is right now ivdu as Hashem Elokechem v'masam Yisrael. And how should you be over Hashem and Am Yisrael hiding the Aron? You should put away the Aron, and that will be your Avodas Hashem v'esamo Yisrael. In Rav Shechter in Eretz Hatzvi in Simin Yud Beis, Osei, he talks about Kedushas Pesach Knesses. He says, well, why did Yoshio have to have it buried on site? Put it somewhere else. Why is it Dafka on the site of the Makom HaMikdash? So he suggests that, based on earlier sources, that maybe the idea of Kedushas HaMikdash emanates from the Kedusha of the Aron. That without an Aron in place, you can't have Kedushas HaMikdash. So if Bayesheni is going to exist, it has to be with Kedushas Aron. There has to be an Aron there in order for Bayis Sheni to have its proper Kedusha. And he says, the Nafkamina la Halacha is that the Gemara in the end of Megillah tells us, Helecha Mikdash Ma'at, that Eile Bat Teknesis Batim Josh Bavel have a din of a Mikdash Ma'at. L'may Nafkamina, that there's a din of Mikdash Ma'at and Bat Teknesis and Batim Josh Bavel, that there are a lot of things. There are a lot of halachos of Beis HaKnesses that mimic the Beis HaMikdash. So one of them is the presence of the Aron. That's what Rav Shechter is opposed to, the idea of having the Aron recessed into the wall, where the Aron's not in the room, it's sort of in its own separate room. And they built this, they wanted to build it into the wall. That was the one thing I didn't have much to say about what happens here, but that was the one thing I said, that the Aron's got to be in the room. It can't be out of the room, even if it means you lose one table, you lose a couple of seats by doing so. But that, because that's the kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses, might come as a result of the presence of the Aron. Okay, Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. We then said the Bryce explains how did they do the Pitum Shemen HaMishcha. So the Psukim tell us that you're supposed to take Besamim Rosh and Mar Deror Chamish Meos and Kinrabosam Achsisa Chamish Masayim Kinebosam Chamish Masayim. So Vekida Chamish Meos, the pasuk goes on to say the Shehein Elef Chamish Meos. That you put it all together, it's Elef Chamish Meos Manim. It's 1500 Manim when you add up all the numbers. Shemin Zayis Hin Shneimasar Log. And then they would have 12 log of oil. Now if they have Elef Chamish Meos Manim of actual spices and only 12 log of oil, it's going to be tricky to make oil that's going to mix with all of those spices and absorb the flavors that they have and the aroma that they have and still have oil left. So how did they do it? So Shabosh Shulkin HaSeikarin, they took the 12 log of oil and they cooked all of these besamim in that oil. Divrei Meir, that's where Meir Shita is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shulkin HaYabimayim, no. They would saturate all of the besamim by cooking them in water. So all of the besamim became totally saturated with water, and then Venosin Shemin Al Gabayin. And then they put oil on top of these fully saturated besamim in order to be kolit, in order to absorb the reyach of the besamim. Mishaya kolit is a reyach, hayamaviro, kidarech shapataminosin. And then as soon as it was kolit the reyach, they would take the shemin off, and that's the way that apparently people who make fragrant perfumes do. That's how they get the oil to absorb the aroma. Hado d'chsiv, that's what the pasuk says, shemen mishchas kodesh. So that's the machlokas tanaim. Would they actually cook the besamim in the oil, or they would, no, cook the besamim in water, and since they're saturated, the besamim won't absorb any of the oil, just put the oil on top of it, and it would naturally absorb the aroma from the besamim. So in Maseches Krisos and Dav Hei, in the Bavli, the Gemara tells us that the shita that holds that they would cook it first in mayim brings a raya that must be the case, because otherwise how would they possibly have enough shemen mishcha because the 12 log is not nearly enough to even moisten all of that besamim. It couldn't possibly be enough to even touch all of that besamim. So kol shkein, to cook it in all that besamim and then still have shemen left. So the Gemara says as an answer, you have to say that was maisa nisim, right? That's what the Gemara in Krisos says. You have to say that the whole thing was maisa nisim. So you could say that if it's going to have to be maisa nisim anyway, as we're going to see, there's got to be maisa nisim anyway involved in the shemen mishcha. So this was maisa nisim also, and the way that it was originally produced was also maisa nisim. So Tanu Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloi taught a brisa shemen mishcha shasa Moshe ben Midbar maisa nisim nasabo mitchila vatzof. The shemen mishcha that was in the Midbar was maisa nisim from beginning to end. Shemitchila lo hayibal l'shem asolog, because all it was 12 log of shemen. Shnemer shemen zayis hin, that the pasuk says shemen zayis hin, and a hin is 12 log. Say im lasach bo say karin lo hayibal sipek. They didn't even have enough to moisten all of the besamim that they needed to extract the aroma from. So lachas kama v'kama. So all the more so that it wouldn't be enough, because sha'or balea ve'etzim bolim v'ayora balas, the fire absorbs some of it, the besamim absorbs some of it, the pot absorbs some of it, the mimenu nimshchu ha'mishkan v'kalkela v'ashulchan ha'shulchan v'kalkela v'amenorah v'kalkela u'menu nimshchu aron kohen gadol banav kol shivus yimei ha'milum u'menu nimshchu kohen gadolim u'melachim, and that was enough to last klalis over all the kelim that needed to be nimshach l'shem ha'mishcha, and all the people that needed to be nimshach b'shem and mishcha forever throughout all the doros. The whole thing was a miracle. Mitchil of Yatsof, the whole thing must have been a miracle, and since the whole thing was a miracle anyway, that's why you can say that. That's how you can say that it's possible that they cooked the actual besamim in the shemen mishcha. So that's what the Gemara suggesting over here that it was possible that they cooked it in the Shemen HaMishcha. In the Panim Yafos, he raises the question, if you needed a nace anyway to make the Shemen HaMishcha, why does the Torah have to tell you not to make a Shemen HaMishcha b'maskunta? There's an Isser in the Torah not to replicate the Shemen HaMishcha. You can't. You can't possibly replicate. If they cooked it in the oil, and it's impossible to do that with that amount of oil, so it's impossible to replicate the Shemen HaMishcha. So isn't that a kasha and the shita that the whole thing was benes? You need a Torah to tell me not to do what takes a nace to do? So the Panim Yafal suggests in commentary on Chumash and Shmos Perek Lamed that according to Rabbi Yehuda, your chayiv, if you make the Shemen HaMishcha in a way that looks like the Shemen HaMishcha, even if you're not left with any shemen at the end. Meaning if you go through that process, even though obviously you can end up with nothing, even though you're not going to have anything to show for it, because all the oil is going to be absorbed in all of the besamim, you're still going to be chayiv. That's how he suggests. So Brisker Rav in Maseches Krisos, Brisker Rav is Chidushim and Kachim, so in Krisos and Daf Hey, the Brisker Rav says, no, even Rabbi Yehuda's Moda, that if you made the Shemen HaMishcha like Rabbi Yossi, would still count the Shemen HaMishcha. Even though he disagrees, he thinks you could rely on an ace and make the Shemen HaMishcha by cooking it in oil, but if you made it like Rabbi Yossi by cooking it in water and not relying on an ace, that would have a status of Shemen HaMishcha. So that's what the Brisker Rav suggests. Now the Tosa Rosh and Masech Torius raises the question, why are they allowed to be Moshech Melachim with Shemen HaMishcha? Pasuk says, V'asher yitein mimenu al zar v'nichras me'amav yichayv kares, if you use it on a zar. Kings are zarim, they're not Kohanim. So how are you allowed to anoint kings with the Shemen HaMishcha? So Tosa Rosh writes that because you could darshan the Pasuk, al basar adam lo yisach, Adam v'lo melech, just like we darshan Maseches Megillah and Daf Yud Aleph, b'kum aleinu Adam, Adam v'lo melech, and that's Haman HaRasha, who was not a melech. The Ramban, however, suggests that the heter to be Moshech Melachim is derived from the pasuk Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yezel Li L'Doroseichem. It doesn't say Zel La'Aron L'Banav L'Doroseichem like it does by the Begadim Bigdei Hakodesh La'Aron Yu L'Banav Achrav. It doesn't say Aron and Banav Timashach V'Kidash Losam L'Chayin Li that it should be Chukal L'Doroseichem. Hakadosh Baruch is saying right now it should be Aron L'Banav Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yezel Li means anyone who's Li, anyone who's designated specifically to serve me, including the Mashuach, the Melech that is Mashuach. He is also designated for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Isser of a Zar doesn't mean a Zar in the conventional sense. The Chiyuv Kares of using the Shemen HaMishcha on a Zar doesn't mean a non-Kohen. It means someone who's not Li, someone who's not designated for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's service and for the service of his people. Okay, so says the Gemara, Melech B'tchila Ton Mashicha. If someone is a new king, they require Mashicha B'Shemen HaMishcha. Melech Ben Melech ain't Ton Mashicha. But if he's yarshening the Malchus, then he does not require Mashicha B'Shemen HaMishcha. My time, oh, where do we get that from? Because the Pasuk says, when Shmuel talks about David, Kum Mashcheu Ki Zehu, Ze Ton Mashicha Vein B'no Ton Mashicha. He's going to be the first in the line of the Malchus Beit David. He needs Mashicha, but his children after are not going to require Mashicha. But when it comes to Kohen Gadol, even 10 generations of Kohen Gadolim in a single Mishpacha, they're all going to require Mashicha b'Shemen HaMishcha. That even after they use the Shemen HaMishcha for, they still have all of it left for the future. Because the Pasuk says, Shemen HaMishcha Yezeli L'Doroseichem. Zez, Gematria 12, it started as 12 lug. All 12 lug are still going to be Lili Dorosechem, are still going to be there for future generations. Again, the whole thing is a miracle. So now the Gemara talks about being Moshech Melachim. Ein Moshech Melachim El Al Gabe Amayan. When they anoint a new king, they do it by Amayan. That's a Simen Bracha. Now that's what some of the Achronim explained. That's the basis for the minhag that we go to a body of water by Tashlich. Because on Rosh Hashanah, the theme of the day of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, that we're being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're Moshe, you anoint a Melech by Amayan. by a body of water. So when we anoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go to a body of water to anoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in Moshe Melachim El Gabe Mayan, Shnemar, that's what the Pasuk says, Vir Kaftim Shlomo B'ni Allah Pirida Ashali V'arad Demoso El Gachon U'Moshe Choso Sham Tzaduk HaKoin V'nasan Anavi L'Melech Al Yisrael. So you see that the Mashiach of the Melachim was by a Mayan. Ein Moshe Melech Ben Melech El Bnei HaMachlokas. And the only time you're ever going to anoint a Melech Ben Melech is if there's a Machlokas in Klal Yisrael. So they're arguing about who should be the king. The Gemara in Horios derives this from the fact that it says the man yarich yom mamlachto who bun of beker of Yisrael, that only if it's beker of Yisrael that there's shalom be Yisrael, then it goes from Av Lebano and you don't need another Mashiach. But if there's some tumult, there's some argument about who should be the next king, and there usually is, then you're going to need a Mashiach. There's a question in Rishonim exactly how that works. The Rashi writes that when there's Shalom be Yisrael, the Malchus goes be Yerusha and you don't need Mashiach. But when there's no Shalom be Yisrael, then there's no Yerusha and you require Mashiach. That's the Pashut reading, that's how Rashi understands. The Rambam says, no, it's not that there's no Yerusha, there's always Yerusha. It's just that we have to make a point of it. The Rambam writes in the first parak of Klei HaMikdash and in the Perush of Mishnayos and Krisus that the Malchus always goes be Yerusha to the rightful Yoresh. So he is the king. But when there's machlokas about who the king should be, so we do a Mashiach just to make a statement that this person is in fact the king. But it's really just a statement. So in the Avnei Nezer, in the Tshuva, in Yardea, Simin Shin Yud Beis, he asks on the Rambam, hey, you're allowed to utilize the Shemin Mishka just to make your political statements? I mean, it's literally the definition of a political statement. You're deciding who should be the Melech. So because there's some argument about who it should be, even though it already went to Yerusha, it belongs to him. But you're gonna use the Shemin Mishka for such a thing? How could they do such a thing? He says, after all, it's a violation of Me'ila. The Gemara says by Yehu that he was Nimshach. The Gemara raises the question, how could you do that? And the Gemara says, because they were Mashku Bar Pasum Adachia. They used some fake out. They didn't really use the Shemin HaMishcha. So you're gonna just use the Shemin HaMishcha to make a statement? So the Avnei Nezer suggests that when it comes to Yerusha, even the Shita that holds that it's that let's say he says, let's go back to Dine Yerusha. There is halacha, according to one shita, that an ubar is eno yoresh, that a fetus inside the mother's womb is not yoresh. And then when he's born, now he's yoresh together with his brothers. And l'mafreya, he's yoresh his chelek. And even when the yarshin davadim, when he's born, now he has a chelek in all the maisi yadehem that those avadim produced. So says the Avnei Nezer, maybe you have such a similar din by a melech. A melech has two sons. Rov Yisrael want one of them. He's going to be the Yoresh. He yarshins the Melucha without a Mashiach, because he's a Melech ben Melech. If the other brother becomes greater in Torah and in Chachma, and then Klal Yisrael says, oh, wait a second, maybe we want the other guy. So then he yarshins the Mafreya, and it's Mafkia, the Yerusha of Achav HaGadol, even though the first one was already in place, just like Dine Yerusha. What's the way to stop that from happening? A Mashiach b'Shem and a Mishcha. So it does something, it actually accomplishes something. I mean, if Machlokas is from someone outside of the family, you don't need Shemin HaMishcha for that. That goes be Yerusha. The Rambam doesn't think you need Shemin HaMishcha for that either, because that clearly goes to a Melech ben Melech. You're not going to take someone from outside of the family. But even from within the family, says the Avnei Nezer, a great Chiddush, even from within the family, if later on someone else becomes more qualified, it may turn out that the Mafreya were going to be Mafkia the Malchus. So in order to stop such a headache from happening, that they're going to keep on changing, and then this one goes to the Beis Medrash and learns a little more, and he's going to be a big Talmud, and then that one. So in order to say, Shemin HaMishcha puts an end to that. So it is accomplishing something. It's not just Stam using it for political purposes, the Shemin HaMishcha. So, says the Gemara, Mibnei Manim Shech Shlomo, if you're not supposed to be anointing a Melech ben Melech, unless there's a Machlokas, so why was Shlomo a Melech anointed? Mibnei Machlokas Shal Adoniyo, because Adoniyo said, Ani Amloch, he wanted to be the king. Yoash, and why was Yoash ben Achazia anointed? His father was, after all, king. Mibnei Ataliyahu, because of Ataliyahu. Yoho Achaz, what about Yoho Achaz, the son of Yoshiyahu? Why was he Nimshak? Yo Yakim Achim, Shayyah Gadol Menashtei Shanim, because Yo Yakim, his brother, was 2 years older than him, and he wanted the Malchus. Why should the younger brother get it? And Yehu, why was Yehu Nimshak? So Mibnei Yoram, because Yoram ben Achav, who got the Melucha from, took Melucha from, there was some Machlokas involved. So ask the Gemara, Lokim Ksiv, Kumashkeu Kizehu, don't we darshan Zeto Mashiach, Vein Malchay Yisrael, Tunu Mashiach? Wait a second, says the Gemara. One of the drushes that we make was that only Malachim from the Malchus based David get get Mashiach. So how could they be Moshech Yehu? Yehu was from the Malchei Yisrael. He was not from the Malchei Beis David. So Elo Yo Achas Mipnei Yo Yakim Achav Shoyu Gadol Menu Shtei Shanim. So we have to say is that that Yo Achas had needed a Mashiach because of Yo Yakim, who was 2 years older than him. How could it be Yo Achas Zimshach B'Shemin HaMishcha V'lo Yoshio Gnazo? Wait a second, the whole thing doesn't make sense. Didn't Yoshio already, we said it was Nignaz together with the Aron. So whatever was Nignaz together with the Aron is not available anymore in the days of Yoachas. So Yoshio already hid it away. So how in the world was he Nimshach B'Shem and Amishcha? So Ada Amra, that's what the Pasuk says. But that's what we have to say. Al Korchach, you have to say Bar Parsimon Nimshach. That some of these Mashichos weren't legitimate. They used Shem and Parsimon. They just used some other oil to do a pretend Shem and Amishcha. So too, when it came to Yehu, who was not from the Malchei Beis David, he was from the Malchei Yisrael, so he didn't get a real Mashiach. He got a Mashiach B'Shem and Parsimon. So says the Braisa, Ein Moshech HaMelachim Ela Min HaKeren, but Shaul V'Yehu Nimshchu Min HaPach Ha'isu Malchus and Malchus Averes. That really, the real Mashiach is supposed to be with the Keren. Shaul, the Pasuk says explicitly, and by Yehu, the Pasuk HaMelachim Beis says explicitly, were Nimshach with a Pach Shemen, not with the Keren, and that's why their Malchus didn't last. David HaMelech was with a Keren. The Pasuk says explicitly in Shmuel Aleph that Vayikach Shmuel as Keren Hashem ar v'yim shechoso. Ushlomo, and Shlomo Melech also, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Tzadok HaKohen as Keren Hashemesh. So Nimshchu min HaKeren, Haysa Malchus, and Malchus Kayemes. So their Malchus was lasting because it was with a Keren. Ein Moshchum Kohanim Malachim, you know that Rav Kohanim serve as Malachim, meaning Kohen is ineligible to be a king. So Amar Rav Yehuda Anton Daria, that's the name of a place, Al Shem Lo Yosher Shevet Me Yehuda, because it's the covenant of Shevet Yehuda that the power doesn't get shifted to another Shevet. So it's not only Kohanim that cannot be kings, nobody outside of Shevet Yehuda, it's even Kohanim. You might think that Kohanim are elevated above everybody else, so maybe they're more qualified to be a king. Even a Kohen is not allowed to be a king. Another Raya, that he can't be a king, that a Kohen cannot be a king. Amar B'chir Bar Ada, Leman Yarechem Imam Mamlacha, who uban of Bekar of Yisrael, Maxiv Basrei, what does it say afterwards? Lo yia l'kohanim halavim, called Shevet Levi v'chelik v'nachla. So you see that Shevet Levi doesn't have a chelik and nachla in the Malchus that we were just talking about. So if they don't have a chelik and nachla in the Malchus, so they themselves certainly are not going to become the Melech. Okay, we quoted previously that Yo'achaz, the son of Yoshio, was Nimshach because of Yo'yakim, who was 2 years older than him. So the Gemara discusses this family dynamics over here. So the Pasuk says that in Divrei Yamim, that the sons of Yoshio, the Pasuk says explicitly, Habachar Yochanan, Hasheni Yehoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkiyo, Harvi'i Shalom. Right, it lists the four sons in order, tells you who's one, who's two, who's three, who's four. Leaves it unambiguous. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who Yochanan, who Yoachas. First of all, you should know that Yochanan, who's identified as the Bechor, is really Yoachas, who's mentioned in Sefer Melachim, that he was the one that took over the Malchus. I have Aksiv HaBechor Yochanan. But wait a second, we said the Bechor was Yochanan, and we just said Yoachim was 2 years older than Yoachas. So how could it be that the Bechor is Yochanan, and Yochanan is Yoachas? But Yoachim is 2 years older than him. So it says, B'chor l'malchus. When we said B'chor Yochanan, we just mean he was the first of the four sons to become a king. But he wasn't actually the firstborn in his family. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says on this pasuk, we go on to say that the third one was Tzidkiyo and the fourth one was Shalom. It's not Shalom, it's Shalom. Who's Shalom? Who's Tzidkiyo? He's Shalom, he's Tzidkiyo. Same guy. Number three and number four. Sons three and four are the same person. So ask the Gemara of Haksiv. Hashlishi Tzidkiyo, Verevish. Shalom. It says the third son, the fourth son. Now, Shlishi told us he was the third in terms of the age of the children, Revi Lamalchus, but he was the fourth one in the family to get Malchus. Who? How could he be the fourth one if there were only three sons? One of his nephews took over first, because first was Yoachaz, and then Yoyakim, and then Yechaniah, the son of Yoyakim, and then finally they got around to him. So he's really the same guy. Shalom and Tzidkiyo, but he was both the third and the fourth. He was the third son, but the fourth one to receive the malchus from the family. Tzidkiyo, Shatzidik of Midasdin. Why is he called Tzidkiyo? Because when he suffered terribly Yisur and his children were shechted in front of his eyes, he was matzdik alav asadin. And Shalom, Shabiyam of Shalom, malchus based David. That in his day, the malchus based David was completed. It was the end of the malchus based David. Lo Shalom of Shmei, Lo Tzidkiyo of Shmei. Neither of these are his real names. They're just both describing characteristics. El Matanya. His name was Matanya. Hado Duchsiv, Vayimlach Melch Bavel, Es Matanya Dodo Tachtav, Vayisav Shmo Tzidkiyahu. That it calls him Matanya, and Vayasev Shmo Tzidkiyahu. So you see that it's the same person. So he was a tzaddik, and you have people sometimes with these names. I had a Talmud named Matanya once. It's a nice name, Stam. But Tzidkiyahu is the same person. Shalom Tzidkiyahu and Matanya are all the same person. Okay, now going back to the Aron. So the Torah itself tells us the dimensions of the Aron, kind of. The Torah tells us that the Aron itself was Amasayim v'chetzi Arko, Amma v'chetzi Rachbo, and Amma v'chetzi Kamaso. 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5 amos. What the Torah doesn't tell us is how big an Amma is, right? So there are two types of Amos. There are Amos Bas Shisha Tvachim and Amos Bas Chamisha Tvachim. So depending which type of Amma the Torah is referring to, whether it's a 6 Tevach Amma or 5 Tevach Amma, it will yield a very different measurement of the Aron. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'amah Shal Shisha Tvachim, Haya Ha'aron Asri. The Aron was made with an Amma that is 6 Tvachim. So Mantam Ba'amah Shal Shisha Tvachim, Rameir. That's the sheet of Rameir. It's not Rameir Omer. Rameir holds, Kola Amos Hayu Be'benonios. All the Amos in the Migdash were Be'benonios except for the Mizbeach, the Keren, the Sov, and the Yisod. Rabbi Yudah Omer Amos Habinyan Shisha Shal Kelim Chamisha. Then no, whenever we describe structural things in the Mikdash by Amos, we mean 6 Tefach Amos. But whenever we're describing Kalim in the Mikdash, those are always 5 Tefach Amos. So Aldaitit Rameir, according to the Sheet of Rameir, so do Amar, Ba'amashal Shishat Facham Ayaron Asui, if the Aron, when it describes it in Amos, means 6 Tefach Amos, so Arkosh Aron Chamisha Asut Facham, the length of the Aron is therefore going to be 15 Tefachim Dechsiv, Amasayim Vechetzi Arko, because 2.5 times 6 is 15. Amsa Shita, Va'amsa Shita, one Amos 6 Tefachim, another Amos 6 Tefachim, and then the last half Amma is 3 Tvachim. And then there were 4 Luchos, Shnaim, 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 Shvurim. 2 that were intact and 2 that were broken, because the Shivri Luchos were in there also. That they all get placed in the Aron. Each of the Luchos were 6 Tvachim were 6 Tvachim long and 6 Tvachim wide. So Vitein Arkon Shal Luchos, the Arkon Shal Aron. So if you put all 4 Luchos across the length of the Aron, so if there's 15 tefachim along and there are 12 tefachim that the luchos were going to take up, you're left with 3 tefachim of empty space. So you got to count for the thickness of the walls, because when we say that it's 15 tefachim long, we're counting the thickness of the walls. So you need a chatzi tefach for each of the kosos. That leaves only 2 empty tefachim inside the aron, and that's where they put the sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had written inside the aron. Rachbo shel aron. What about the width of the aron? Tisha tfachim. That was 9 tfachim. Dechsev amma v'chetzi rachbo. Because we said that the width was 1.5 amos. So amsa shita, palgus amsa tlasa. So you have an amma that's 6 tfachim. A half an amma is 3 tfachim. V'aba luchos ayibo. And there were 4 luchos in the aron. Shnayim shleimim, shnayim shvurim. The ones that were shalim and the ones that were broken. Dechsev asher shibarta v'samtem ba'aron. Haluchos ayukalech v'echel arkan shisha tfachim v'rachban shisha tfachim. So therefore, how does it play out? Tein rachban shaluchos rach v'shalaron. Put the width of the luchos across the width of the aron, nishtayisham shlosh tvachim. So that will take up 6 tvachim, leaving 3 empty tvachim. But you got to account for the thickness of the walls. Chatzi tefach mikan lekosel zeh, v'chatzi tefach mikan lekosel zeh. Each wall was a half a tefach, so that's another. It takes away another tefach from the width. Tvachayim l'shilut makom shesever torah munach. And then you had 2 empty tvachim in order to be able to bring, take in and put out, and take out the put in and take out the sefer Torah. A little bit of wiggle room along the width in order to be able to reach in to get the Sefer Torah. Reb Shimon Lakish Amar Ba'amah Bas Chamisha Tefachim Ayaron Asli. Reb Shimon Lakish says, no, I disagree with the whole cheshbon. It was really a 5 Tefach Amma that the Torah gives the measurements in. So Man Tana Ba'amah Chamisha Tefachim Reb Yehuda Detanina Taman Reb Yehuda Omer Amas Habinyan Shisha Shalakelim Chamisha, that the Amas Habinyan was 6 Tefachim, but the Kelim were 5 Tefach Amas. Vein Aron Kliu, and Aron is a Kli. So therefore, when describing the Amos of the Aron, it must be 5 Tefach Amos. So now let's do the cheshbon according to that. Al daiti Rabbi Yehuda do Amar ba'amishal chamisha tefachim ayar arko asui shnei masar tefach umechsa. So if it's 2.5 amos, but each amos is only 5 tefachim, that means 12.5 tefachim of length. The chesiv amechsayim v'chetzi arko. So amos chamsha ve'amos chamsha. One amos 5 tefachim. The second amos 5 tefachim. Palgus amos treya palg. And then the last half an amos 2.5 tefachim. Ve'arba luchos ayibon. They had to fit the 4 luchos. Shnayim shleim shnayim shvurim. The chesiv ashashibat v'sam tabaron. We know the dimensions of the luchos, so they're going to take up 12 of the 12.5 tefachim of length. So ten orkot shaluchos laorkot shalaron v'nishtayir sham chatzit tefach, and all you're left with is a chatzit tefach. But we haven't accounted for the thickness of the walls yet. So according to the first sheet, each wall was a half a tefach thick. So already over. No etzba lakos l'mikan ve'etzba lakos l'mikan. The chatzit tefach that was left, each wall was, according to this sheet, there was only an etzba thick. Was not a chatzit tefach thick, and therefore, when you put the two etzbos together, that's a chatzit tefach. So that's how you account for all of the 12.5 tefachim of the length of the aron. What about rochbo shel aron? What about the width of the aron? So shiva tefachim mechza. That was 7.5 tefachim. Tchsev ama v'chetzi rochbo, because the rochav was 1.5 amos. Amsa chamisha. So you have 5 tefachim for one ama. Palgus amsa treu palig, and then the other half an ama was 2.5. V'arba luchos ayibah. You had to fit the luchos in. Shnayim 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 shvurim. Tchsev asher shibat v'sam tabaron. And we know the dimensions of the luchos, so there was 6 tefachim wide. So tein rachman l'rachman shalaron. So now you have a 6 tefach luchos in the 7.5 tefachim of width that the aron had. So that leaves you with only 1.5 tefachim left. And etzvah l'chos l'mikad, etzvah l'chos l'mikad. And a half a tefach is going to be the thickness of the walls, because an etzvah for each wall, so 2 etzvahs equals a half a tefach. And chatzit tefach l'mikad, chatzit tefach l'mikad, l'shilut, which leaves you with only one more tefach, so it gives you a half a tefach on each side of airspace that you could be able to take things out and put things in. How did Bitzal make the Aron? What was the construction of the Aron like? So Rabbi Chanina Amar Shalosh Tevel Sasa'u. So there's two opinions. Rabbi Chanina says there were 3 boxes. Shtayim Shel Zav Ve'achah Shel Eitz. 2 made of gold and 1 made out of wood. And he did it counterintuitively. You would think he would take the biggest gold box, put the wood box inside of it, and then take the smaller gold box and put that inside of that. That would lessen the burden. What did he do? Nasan Shel Zav B'Shel Eitz. He first put the smaller gold box inside the wooden box, and then Shel Eitz B'Shel Zav. And then he put that wooden box with the gold inside of it into the larger golden box, which is counterintuitive. Vitzipo, and then he lined the whole thing with gold. Vitzipo, so zav darmin bayis miuchutz. Matam lomer titzapenu. Why does it have to say titzapenu? It already says that you're mitzapa bizav. So lahavi sfasa el yona. That includes the upper rim, that the top of the wooden box, the upper ledge of the wooden box, still has exposed wood, so they would cover that with gold as well, so that the whole thing is covered in gold. Rav Shimon Lakish disagrees. Rav Shimon Lakish amar teva achas asa'o. That was all one box. And he just gold plated it. So matam lamer titzapenu. So Rabbi Pinchas lavi be nesel nesel titzapenu just means between each of the boards. So that's what he. That's how he prepared the aron. Some of the achronim suggest that this relates back to the machlokas that we had just before, whether it was a half a whether it was each wall was only an etzpathik or the walls were a half a tefach thick. The nafkamina would be if it was 3 boxes, so the box shall eight itself is an etzba. So then you have 2 other boxes, so that's going to take up more. Whereas if it's just a tzipoy, it's just a coating, so the coating was nothing. It was very dark. So if it was just a tiny coating, then it's not going to be anything. Then the whole thing is only going to be the thickness of an etzba. How would they write the luchos? The way you always pictured it, 5 on one tablet, 5 on the other tablet. In terms of the Aseres Dibros, Hadol Zuchsev, Yichtevim, Al Shnei Luchos Avanim, Chamisha Aluachzeh, V'Chamisha Aluachzeh, V'Rabbanan Amri, a second Shita, Asara Aluachzeh, V'Asara Aluachzeh, that the first 5 Dibros were written twice, one on each side of the of one tablet, and the next 5 Dibros were written twice on the other tablet, one on each side. Hadol Zuchsev, Ayaged, L'Chemes Brisa, Asher Tzivei Ascham, La'asos Aseres Hadvarim, Asara Aluachzeh, V'Asara Aluachzeh, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Esrim Aluachzeh, V'Esrim Aluachzeh. That it was all Aseres HaDibros were written on both luchos twice, so one on each side. Rabbi Simai Omer, Arboim Aluachzeh, Arboim Aluachzeh. all Asaras Dibros on each of the Luchos on all four sides, not just front and back, on all four sides. So it turns out that 40 on each of the Luchos, Tichsiv, Mizeh, Mizeh, Ksuvim, Tate Roga, that it's square. Chanani ben Achir Rabbi Shomer, Ben Kol Dibor V'Dibor, Diktukzeh Vos Yoseha, Shel Torah. In between, each of the Asaras Dibros included all of the details of the Torah. Tichsiv, Mimluam V'Tarshish, Kayama Rabba, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Kadhava Mati, Hadein Kiria, when he would get to learn this pasuk, Hava Amar Yafalam Deni Chanani ben Achir Rabbi Yoshua, Mahayamazeh bin Gal Gadol Galim Ketanim, where the comparison between the ocean and the Luchos is that just like by the ocean, in between the very large waves, you have smaller waves, Kach bin called Dibur V'Dibur, Tiktukzeh V'Osiyoseh Shal Torah. So to between each of the Dibros, you have the Tiktukim and the Osios of the Torah, you have all of the details of the Torah in between the Luchos, which is the Beis Halevi points out that must have been only the Luchos Rishonos. The Luchos Shnios didn't have all the details, and he said that had to be in order to keep the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, that we all the details were reserved only for Klal Yisrael, all the Torah Sheval Peh and everything else. But the Luchos Rishonos, which was produced by Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, that Moshe Rabbeinu broke, that's what we're describing over here. Okay, we fell a little bit behind, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Tanchuma. Good day, everybody.